And the cheaper they can hire him, the more delighted they are. And wherever you find a church that takes that attitude, you find a church that sows the seed of dissension. You see a church that respects the pastor, that honors the pastor, that has some reverence for the position of pastor, and you see a church that will do things for God. I think of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas. For long years, Dr. George W. Truett was the pastor of that congregation, and those people loved him. They revered him, they honored him, and they respected him as the pastor of their congregation. And then W.A. Criswell, who followed this, one of the largest churches in the world today, said this one time, "If the congregation shall be led by anyone else other than the pastor, it shall be poorly led, no matter who, how many, how well organized, how big the clique may be, that God intended the leadership of the church to lie in the pastor under God. Because the pastor is responsible to Almighty God, and the deacons and the leaders in the church are to assist and to be servants in the congregation. God's method through the ages has been go and preach. Noah preached 120 years. Amos, like lightning, sent down those streaks of God's judgment upon a nation. Jeremiah wept over the people. It is a parable that here is a lost, waiting world, and they need to hear." Charles Jefferson, that great man of God, said about the history of preaching that Jesus walked about the Sea of Galilee and called 12 men, Peter, Andrew, James, John, and so forth. You know those men. And then later on in the ministry, Jesus called 12 men around the Mediterranean Sea, Origen, Basil, Augustine, Francis of Assisi, Huss, Luther, Calvin, 12 great men to preach. And then as time went along, God reached down around the Atlantic Ocean, another body of water, and he called John Knox, Jonathan Edwards, Wesley, Whitfield, Parker, Spurgeon, Beecher, Brooks, John A. Broadus, B.H. Carroll, and they left all and said, "Jesus is Lord, and we will proclaim his message and preach." Dr. Ellis Fuller one time said that the preacher is like a volcano. Deep in his soul, divine fire burns, and it erupts when he preaches. The sermon is hot lava that comes out of his soul and flows. That's the privilege to which God calls his man. Dr. R.G. Lee said, "I love to preach. I love Christ. I have preached him as heaven's bread for earth's hunger, heaven's water for earth's thirst, heaven's light for earth's darkness, heaven's love for earth's hate, heaven's wisdom for earth's folly, heaven's beauty for earth's ugliness, heaven's grace for earth's guilt, heaven's joy for earth's sorrow, heaven's glory for earth's shame, heaven's peace for earth's strife, heaven's justification for earth's condemnation, heaven's salvation for earth's damnation, heaven's life for earth's death." He went on to say, "I had rather pay to preach than to be paid not to preach, because when you take Jesus out of the sermon, it is like taking, my dear friends, heat out of fire. It is not only a paradox that the world is lost, It is also a parable that the world should continue on its course. Lastly, I come to the third and the final word which Paul has to say in this text, that which is paramount. How shall they hear without a preacher? If no man is sent, if no one bears the good news, if no one goes forth to preach, the highest rank, the supreme thing, we need someone to participate and share in it, to Christianize this world. And so Paul said, how shall they hear without a preacher? Pharaoh needed to send for the preacher in prison to come and show him the problems in his kingdom. Belshazzar needed to send for the preacher to come and reveal to him the handwriting on the wall. The jailer needed to send for the preacher to come and tell him how to find salvation and save his entire family. When Jesus our Lord was upon this earth, everybody who had a need went to him. The paramount need of this hour is for the preacher to go forth and preach Jesus Christ crucified. The Christian faith is founded on a person, not on an idea. It is founded on the person of Jesus Christ. Many men today will acclaim that they have good ideas that will lead folks up to the mountain of God. But our salvation was that God came down to earth in the person of his own Son. He took the form of a slave. He humbled himself. He died outside the walls of Jerusalem. And now he is the Lord of glory. And it is paramount that the preacher preach the crucified Lord. Old John Sharp, professor at Oxford, said, let me no more my comfort draw, prone my frail hold on thee. In this alone rejoice with awe, thy mighty grasp of me. God gets a hold of the preacher. The paramount thing is that God has put you in Christ Jesus and you have become a partaker of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. As Richard Baxter said, I preach every time as never sure that I will preach again. And I preach as a dying man unto dying men. Dr. James Stewart said, Christianity is indeed the revelation of God and not the research of man. No wonder John Bunyan said, I will stay in this jail until my eyebrows are covered with moss before I would recant the call to preach the gospel. Oh, that we could come back to Jonathan Edwards, who preached sinners in the hands of an angry God, and have the people in the pew hold on to the backs of their pews, crying out for mercy. For preaching is not a hobby. Preaching is not something a man takes up to occupy his time. Preaching is not his own choice. Preaching is when a man comes and says, Lord, what will you have me to do? Not what I want to do. Because Steve, Mark Stephen, ordination will not sanctify a man. Ordination will not change the man at all. Ordination will only give you a sense of the vocation. It is that paramount call that men need to hear. As A.E. Garber at 4 o'clock on a Christmas Eve in 1884 said, I was reading about Stalker's book about Paul and Christ, and it came to me that this old world needed a preacher. And I sat down with that conviction in my heart, and I wrote to my father, and I said, He has called me. It is paramount. They shall not hear without a preacher. And we need to know today, there is no greater thing, our wonderful thing, that is paramount today, than that men will see you as you go. Paul says, how beautiful are the feet. The preacher who bears the tidings. A man of God here in Virginia went to preach an association, or went to an association meeting. He did not plan to preach. He did not have a sermon. But the moderator said, we need you to preach the opening sermon. No one has come. He said, well, I'll do my best. So the man of God stood up and he preached. He said, for 20 minutes. The day was hot. The building was crowded. The babies were crying. The people were still coming. There was much talk on the outside of the building. And when he finished, he said to himself, I have failed miserably. And I don't know a preacher on the face of the earth, when he finishes a sermon sometime, he just says in his soul, I just completely failed today. I went outside, he said, sat down by a tree. I told God I'd failed him. The day went on. And through the years, he said, I tried to forget it. 9 years passed, and one day old Hatcher was riding in his buggy going back up through the mountains, and when he came to that country area, his buggy broke. He went to look for a blacksmith, and when he went into his shop, the blacksmith looked at him and he said, you are Hatcher, aren't you? The man who preached at the association meeting? He said, yes, I am. And I've been trying to forget it for 9 years. And the old man, he said, looked at him. And he said, let me tell you something. He said it was that sermon that day at the association meeting that I promised to turn my life around and give it to God. And I became a Christian, and I've been living for God ever since. It is paramount that we have a preacher, that people might hear the word. And Paul concludes that chapter in the 21st verse, as he says, all the day long, I have stretched out my arms to disobedient people. Mark Stephen, how shall they hear without a preacher? God bless you for hearing the call.
Mark Stephen Alexander. Some years ago, I didn't really know anything about your even coming to be in the family of Cecile and Mark. Many years ago, Mark and I walked the aisle in this church, when we profess Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, Mark and I were baptized at the very same time, on the same very evening, when we followed Christ in baptism. And then it was on that awesome occasion that four of us were ordained at this place. And each time I come into this church, I can't help but think about how God has blessed and how grateful I am for his leadership through these years. Certainly, Mark, let me tell you something, Stephen. Preaching is the greatest job that I have. It's the greatest job you'll ever have. It's the greatest task that you'll ever have in your life. I'm to give you a charge tonight, and I can't give you a better charge than what Paul gave as he spoke to Timothy, the young preacher. I have in my Bible these words. This is the summit of all of Paul's counseling. I also have in my Bible, just at the very heading of this chapter, this is just before Paul's death. And I also have this in my Bible, just at the very heading of this chapter. This is the last sacred charge that Paul ever gave. Let me read this to you. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of the ministry. I have written down some very personal and extraordinary charges that I want to give to this young man. I read somewhere that Martin Luther thought 9 virtues belong to a good preacher. Let me read them. A good preacher ought to teach systematically. He ought to have a ready wit. He ought to be eloquent. He ought to have a good voice. He ought to have a good memory. He ought to know when to begin. He ought to know when to end. And I'm all for that. He ought to engage his body and blood and wealth and honor in the Word of God. He ought to know that he must suffer to be mocked, and he may be jeered by everyone. But you know, I have written here this statement: one may labor to master techniques and lose his effectiveness. Mark Stephen, it is better to be mastered by your convictions. Sound theology is important. And when it is sound, it's going to be easy to do what you're supposed to do. And when you do that, there need be no moment of apology for anyone. Reinforcement of convictions must come often. And steadfast convictions will never sidetrack you from preaching the Word of God. I have mentioned some very personal things that I believe that you're going to get hold of in your ministry. And I'm so glad your wife is here and she'll be listening. And together you may cultivate these things. And I'm not saying these are the only things you should hear. I think that as you go into your ministry, you're going to be hearing a lot of things, because all of your life is going to be a learning experience. It's going to be a time, all of your life, when you'll be constantly adapting or adjusting to the ministry. Let me mention these in simple fashion. Number one, always seek to project the image of God's man. You have heard very eloquently a preacher's sermon just a moment ago. And certainly, all of the credentials of a minister were found in that sermon. Let me ask you to do something. Always, never fail to do this. Always seek to project the image of God's man. Now, how are you going to do this? Speech is important. Let your speech be always with grace. Be careful what you say and how you say it. That means a lot. Dress is important. Not that you need to be in a tuxedo all the time, but a well-groomed preacher is a better representative of the calling than a carelessly attired person. The pulpit is a sacred place. It is a place of sincerity. It is a place of power. It is a place of integrity. It is a place of justice. It is a place of respect. Never go into any preaching opportunity without the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Materialism should never possess you. You are not your own. You're bought with a price. Sensitivity to human needs is mandatory. Concern, love, graciousness, and kindness, all of these are virtues of the ministry. Stay close to your home. Take care of your household. Remember, Stephen, that you have a role to play as a husband. And your wife has a role to play as your wife. And Stephen, your wife wants to believe that she is important in your world. That is very real. You stay close to your home. To function efficiently, you must have a sound body. This should be a value factor in your life. A good mind and body are required. They're necessary to sustain a good and effective ministry. Number two, be faithful to God's word. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. The Bible is God's word. God's word speaks to man's needs. Believe it with all your heart. Don't you ever deviate from believing it. Stephen, you would never do an adequate job of proclaiming it if you were not to believe it. Number three, read a whole lot. Study. And study fervently. Do everything possible to stretch your mind. Know also that preparing for the pulpit or any phase of ministry demands diligence in research and study. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God. An unprepared minister leads to an unprepared pulpit. And this results always in an unprepared people. I'm reminded of the Presbyterian preacher who lived in a manse, and it was just next door to the church. And that preacher was conceited, and he bragged a whole lot because he told everybody that he could prepare a sermon in the distance between the manse and the church. Very soon the elders built a new manse 10 miles away. You study, you read, and you will become approved unto God. Number 4, be loyal to your denomination. Even though there are diversities, love the brethren and walk worthy of the vocation to which you're called. Cultivate lowliness, meekness, and long-suffering. Maintain a love for the Southern Baptist denominational program. Number 5, be a soul winner. No man should be ordained to the gospel ministry who does not have a passion for souls. And I'm all for that. People depend upon the gospel. They depend upon the witness. They depend upon the compassion of the believers. Their lives and their destinies depend upon you and me as ministers of the gospel. Enjoy a lifetime of winning the lost to Jesus Christ. Number 6, have regular devotions. This may mean daily devotions. I like it that way. Prayer and meditation. You and your wife and your household will be examples of what your congregation will follow. But the power that goes among your people is going to come from moments of meditation and prayer. Your ministry will be as dry as a desert if you don't depend upon daily anointing of the Holy Spirit. Unless you depend upon God Almighty in prayer and personal dedication, you will encounter misunderstandings. You're going to grow weary and tired in your mind and your body. And you may experience loneliness and disappointment. You're going to need that daily nourishment from God in personal Bible reading and prayer. Don't you neglect it. John Stott said, "The road from the study to the pulpit runs through a living, demanding, interrupting home life, out into the busy and noisy streets, in and out of houses, hospitals, farms, factories, buses, trains, planes, up between rows of puzzled people to a place you're called to preach." A thoroughly trained minister is a human being at home among human beings. What have I said tonight? Stephen, submit yourself to the Word of God. He has entrusted you with it. In a little while, there's going to be the laying on of hands. And I believe that this is going to be a single blessing for you, because in it all, you're going to realize that God has given you His oracles. He has entrusted you with the Word of God. Don't you ever defile it. Make it to be effective. Do all your work to the glory of Christ. No man can bear witness to Christ and to himself at the same time. In order to bring glory to Jesus, you stay out of the way. Let Christ be glorified in all you do. Depend upon the Holy Spirit. Be clothed with His power. Your message to the world must be God's message and not yours. Your aim in the ministry must be Christ's glory and not yours. Your confidence must be in the power of the Holy Spirit and not yours. I charge you, Mark Stephen Alexander.
I'm Henry Napier, Raleigh Heights Baptist Church. Mark Stephen, you were dedicated to the Lord on August the 21st, 1957. My wife and I stood with your father as he looked in at that little bit of humanity in that nursery in the old Albemarle Hospital in Elizabeth City, North Carolina.
The minister is much...